If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Once you have people in place, trust them and let them freaking own it. And let them fall on their face. They may make a mistake. Maybe they'll lose you some money. And may, just as long as it's not all the time, right? But you have to have trust in these people who are doing the business for you. Because if you micromanage them, if you're constantly over their shoulder, they're never going to make a decision without you. And you can't grow a business that way.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Hey, Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for having me, man. I'm really excited to be here.
The pleasure's all mine. If you don't mind giving us just a quick bio on yourself.
Yeah, I was in corporate America for over 20 years and realized that I hit a glass ceiling and that I wasn't ever going to make more than I was making over the past two, 3 years. I elevated as creative director in, you know, a Fortune 100 company. And I just thought to myself, there's got to be more. I was being laid off for the second time in my career, which isn't terrible, right? To over 20 years, only laid off twice. But I was fortunate enough to have enough runway, speaking to the CEO of my household, you know, my wife, and saying, hey, I'm reading this book. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And literally punching the steering wheel as I'm driving and commuting to this job, that my job in 3 months. And just the aha moments, you know, the anger, frustration, and inspiration that, wow, there's something more out there. I could be more. I could do more. I could create legacy wealth for me and my family. She was like, I'm all in. What are you thinking about doing? I'm like, real estate investing. She's like, what are you talking about? You're a creative. You've never done anything in real estate. So she trusted me. She trusted that I wasn't going to burn all of our money away and our life savings and investing. And that's brought me down this path and started to move into other things in the creative space, went back to my superpower because the real estate community needed it and was asking for it, and created all sorts of things like a company called On Air Brands and now PodMax.
That's fascinating. So did you, when you were more of an active investor, what did that look like? Were you an active or were you more of a passive investor?
I was both. So I quickly learned that my network was my net worth, right? I started to understand and surround myself with people that were doing what I wanted to do. And I wanted to learn, you know, what from them. So I started to surround myself with people who were syndicating. I started surrounding myself with people who were flipping, wholesaling. I got to the point, Sam, where I made my way to the front of the room and became, you know, one of the board directors of one of the larger real estate investing communities in Jersey. So I guess my personality allowed me those opportunities to get to that relatively quickly, within a year, leveraging all my strengths, you know, like my, you know, conversation, just wanting to get to know people, asking questions, which led to me interviewing people at real estate meetups and getting them on Facebook Live. And then all of a sudden I realized, wow, I can leverage this for the real estate meetup and create their Facebook page and do all this stuff, and then gain visibility, which all evolved into a podcast and then companies and then more clients. And it just started to explode. You know, I'm trying to compact, you know, my story of, you know, the past 3-4 years into 20 minutes here, but
sure,
you get the point, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you, you did all this, and then you figured out that, wait, there's a need here within the community.
Yeah.
Can you give us a quick, just a quick summary of what you see that need is?
So working with mentors and coaches and people in the real estate space that I started to shadow, you know, and get comfortable with the numbers and analyzing deals and saying, yes, I'm going to put, you know, 100K into that out of my pocket and figure this out. But at least I have someone on my team that says, yes, that's a good decision. Everything makes sense.
Right.
I started to help them. I started to help my coaches and mentors with social media marketing, with, you know, getting on my podcast or getting on other people's podcasts, doing things on the marketing and visibility and branding space for them. Literally branding, like creating logos, creating artwork, doing websites, things like that, because they saw what my company, Mindato Investment Group, they're like, who does your website? Who's doing all your branding and your social? I'm like, it's all me. Well, oh, so cool. Can you do it for me? So one me turned into another me, turned into dozens of me's saying, hey, help me. But I was servicing the real estate community because, as you can imagine, the majority of them are left brain analytical type of folks. Exactly. Where they're like, wow, there's a creative here. He's the unicorn. Go talk to him. You know? So that's really what happened.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I just wrote a very nice check to somebody to do exactly what it is. I wish maybe you and I could have talked before this, but it was, yeah, man, like I can barely create an email. Like, but I'm serious. It's going to be misspelled and, you know, the whole nine yards.
You got a lot going on, man. We understand.
Let alone formatted correctly. So yes, to find someone like you, yes, you are the unicorn in the room. Like, oh my gosh, like somebody can make this all look pretty and amazing. Yeah. And it speaks to the people who are coming to that site or to that page. Like,
yeah,
you know, even writing copy that speaks to people is a gift. So if you're right, pulling that off, like, good for you. So did you then you decided to back away from active real estate investments and really just focus on this?
Yeah, it's interesting what happened. I came to the realization. I was at a networking event. It was really a mastermind, and I was struggling, Sam. Like, there was a fork in the road. It was like, do I continue on my path? You know, I took down some multifamilies, and then I was on the path to being a partner at the second oldest winery in the country called Renault. And I was like, where do I go with all this? The creative side is making me money. But the real estate side, that's the long tail. Like, it's the long game. Where do I go? And I was talking to a bunch of coaches and they were like, what's making you money? I'm like, they're creative. They're like, maybe you should focus on that right now and then come back to real estate investing. So that's what I did. I said, okay, let me build with the mindset that I will sell these companies at some point, very much like an asset. I'm going to build, create value within something that doesn't exist, and then continue to grow and build and put love and education and money and everything into that, to the point where it gets valuated now, where one of my companies is valuated at $2.4 million, very much like an asset. Dude, it did not exist a year ago.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I treat it very much like real estate. So everything I've learned in real estate, I'm applying to business and building a business.
Right, that's really cool. That is really cool. Yeah, and I love the fact that you had the courage to figure out what it was. One, because it sounded like this is fun for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is fun for you. And secondly, you're able to, you probably find, because it's fun for you, you're also able to make money at it.
Yeah.
And provide, you know, valuable service to people. So tell us about what On Air Brands does really. And then also, I'd love to hear more about PodMax.
Yeah, absolutely. So On Air Brands was birthed from servicing real estate investors and creating logos, brands, websites, and doing their social media marketing. It has since evolved into podcast production. So I created a podcast for myself purely for marketing and also getting free advice, right? It was like I was the mentee talking to mentors, and anything that I ever needed, it gave them a reason, right? It gave me a reason to ask them to have a conversation. So whenever, here's the funny thing, the top five downloads of my show, Entrepreneur Circle, are partners or clients, because they were on the show and they were like, I love your show, man. Who's doing it? Same thing like with the other stuff and logos. I'm like, me, I do all of it. And then it became, hey, can you do help me? Can you help me? And all of a sudden I grew a network of podcasts because I had to hire teams to edit, produce, create these, because I couldn't do it anymore.
Sure.
If I have, you know, three, four, five, now a dozen clients that we launch and create podcasts for. So that's really On Air Brands, and a long sort of explanation, creation and production of podcasts, really the focus of On Air Brands, and the social media promotions to help gain visibility around those podcasts.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of us fall off, is that even if we get it produced correctly, that then once that asset's in our hands, it doesn't necessarily do anything unless we then, you know, go out and market the podcast.
Yeah, what I love about this is very much like real estate. And we all understand as real estate investors, once I buy an asset, once I buy, say, a multifamily, it's not going to be me going in there changing toilets. It's not me going in there collecting the rent. I'm going to hire a property management team that I trust to manage that asset, very much like your podcast. if you're a business owner, you want to concentrate on your business. Why are you concentrating on creating content, producing content, editing a podcast, creating video? There are teams out there just like property managers that are experts in this field. And we have to leverage those experts so that you can go do other things. You can go build your business relationships, right? Partnerships with people. And the vehicle with podcasts is really just that spoke, one spoke in the marketing wheel. And if you understand that, this is an investment I need to make so that I can build my business. And also at the same time, build and create and foster relationships with clients and future clients or future partners. It's podcast is just amazing, dude. It's evolving to the point where like, wow, this is we're in its infancy, which is really, really exciting.
Wow. That's interesting you say that, because, you know, I think one of the things that we're also seeing is the meteoric rise of the use of video, even short video, you know, 20-second, 30-second videos. Why do you say that podcasting is in its infancy?
Well, first off, the corporate America has only started to realize now that podcasts is something they need to invest in.
Mm.
So like in real estate, right? It's imagine like we mobile homes or storage, no one knew about it. But then when the hedge funds, when the folks start to poke around and go, oh, wait a minute, I think there's something here. Maybe we need to start looking into this. That's what's happening. And that's happening right now as we speak. Because the podcast industry has been this sleeping giant. It's built a community of people that all have abundance in just like with us investors, we have an abundance mindset. Let's help each other. Let's help each other grow. If you grow, I grow, right? That is the same exact community. So, and what's funny is the real estate investing community has come over, right? A lot of us have podcasts now, right?
Right.
I have multiple podcasts and they're in the real estate space. And what happened is now corporations are starting to pump money, starting to invest into the podcast industry, buying podcast companies. This is all leading down to what I said. You know, when I created these companies, they were designed to sell. So very much like, you know, hey, VaynerMedia, you want to buy PodMax? It's here. It's worth 2.4 now, but what are we going to talk about, you know, in 5-10 years? Right? You want to get in now or you want to get in later? It's going to be more.
Now, right. Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. So when it comes to what you see people doing with their podcast, I know you said this is one spoke in the market, but what are some things that people are doing right when it comes to podcasting that we should be replicating?
Oh my God. This is a heavy lift, but if you can get it done and it doesn't happen overnight, is do something like what you're doing, right? Sam has a podcast. He's taking video of it. So that's one thing, right? That takes you an hour, takes you half an hour. If you can hand this asset, you can hand this content to a team that will turn it into an audio podcast, number one, right? That's the easy thing. Then after that, take the video and start to brand it and start to produce it and create micro content that delivers a message every single day, every single week, because people, as anyone who's in sales, anyone understands, has business and, you know, the sale, people need to touch you and touch your brand multiple times, 4 or 5, maybe 12 times before they actually decide to maybe give you a call, maybe reach out and email you to do business, right? So what we do with podcasts is we record, we create, we produce, and we throw it out there every single week, constantly add value. So that by the time, because even if you got 100 views and one or two people reach out to you, there's still those 98, 99 people that eventually someday will reach out to you. You reached out to me, right? You heard me on a podcast I recorded years ago.
Right.
So this is the same exact principle. Someone's going to reach out to you. If you have a podcast and you're creating content and it's consistent and it's clear and it's adding value, that's where the magic is.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And what are some things then that you see people doing wrong in the space?
They're not consistent. You know, they record a show, they release a podcast once a month, every other month. You know, they just don't have consistency. They haven't developed they haven't developed systems and processes or a team to support them.
Right.
So that's where the challenge is. I think people say, "Yeah, this is something I should do, and everyone's telling me to do it. I'm going to do it." But they don't follow through, and they don't have a consistent habit and ritual to create content and have it pushed out so that people can expect it, you know when to expect it.
Right.
But then also the second thing is you gotta bring it, man. You gotta have something you're offering to people that helps them. Don't just say, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm eating spaghetti tonight, and like there's no lessons learned. Like, tell me about your failures. Be vulnerable. right? Don't pound your chest, you know? Like, dude, I tripped and fell multiple times, probably this morning, you know? Like, and I figured it out. I figured something out, and then I shared it with my audience. Like, hey, here's how I screwed up, and then here's what I did, so now you don't have to do that. So that's where people sort of, they miss the message. They don't understand, like, don't just produce. I get it. It's great. Yes, gain some consistency, but try to at least 50 to 100% of your content help people and just give it for free. Just give it.
Mm, yeah, and that's the phrase. It might be an overplayed phrase, but adding value. Like, how are you adding value to the people in your life, people, the listeners? Yeah, how to add value, I think, is a great question that we should probably be asking.
Can I tell you, Sam, how that works actually is if someone sees Sam Wilson constantly giving advice and information for free, what's going to happen 3, 6, 9, 10 months later? Someone's going to say, I keep seeing Sam and he helps me all the time. And I've actually made money. Because I didn't make a mistake. There was an underground oil tank. And then if he didn't tell me about that, I learned, you know, he saved me thousands of dollars. Well, they're going to feel guilted, right, into working with you because you gave them so much and you don't even know it.
Right.
You already have no idea, but they're going to feel obligated to work with you at some point because you've given them all this stuff that they value. There's no exact price, but they value you.
Right. It's the giver's gain.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, that's it. It's funny. I was talking to, I come from a huge family, but one of my brothers the other day, he goes, dude, why are you podcasting again? Like, what's that all about? And I'm like, brother, you have no idea the value, even for me, just in episodes like this that we gain from these interactions. Like, and that's a selfish, you know, a selfish benefit. But it's like, this is, you know, I get just as much out of doing these as I do giving. So it's a fun thing. Talk to us about PodMax. What is it? And yeah, give us the lowdown on that.
Yeah. So as Honor Brand started to develop podcasts, as you can imagine, you know, one became two, became 12, became dozens. And then all of a sudden I had a network of podcasts. So I'm like, how can I give to the community, specifically the real estate community at the time? And that was access to these podcasts, right? I would get people on once in a while. They'd come into the studio, they would record. Like, what if I jam pack this into one day where I can get people on 4 to 5 shows in one day, live, face to face in different studios, like speed dating. Mm-hmm. Speed dating for pod entrepreneurs. And dude, what happened was not only was everyone winning on both sides of the mic, right? The hosts were getting content created because they were batch recording 5 episodes in one day and right. Walking away with assets. And then the people who paid that, there was a paid ticket price for people to come in and get on shows. And they were getting visibility. They were giving an opportunity to shine, right? The microphone and the camera in their face. And they loved it. So what was cool about it was I didn't realize because the high ticket price, it was about $3,000 to $5,000 at the time, it was weeding out the folks that don't take their business seriously. Like these were business owners with marketing budgets. So they got to the next level, right? That, sure. So they would invest in this day. And those individuals with brilliant minds were in the room between podcasts, in the room for lunch, in the room doing business. Right. Sure. And finding new partners and relationships and clients. So I was like, whoa, this is becoming a mastermind. So I started to get speakers on stage. I started to bring more value and just like put all these people, Entrepreneur Magazine, iHeartRadio, a friend of mine, Cashflow Ninja, where we were just giving to everyone. Like, wow. So people were like, oh my God, this is amazing. Then what happens, right? We get slapped in the face with the pandemic and it all went virtual. But dude, silver lining. I'm like, let's figure it out, right? And they came. We brought the price down to $500 and they poured in. And then we got back to our normal ticket price over time because people saw, wow, all of a sudden the keynote speakers from Shark Tank, from VaynerMedia, from all these huge brands coming in because I don't have to fly them in anymore. I don't have to spend 10, 20, 50 grand for them to show up because now it's virtual, right? So I can afford to get them in. And also we became global because now people are Zooming in. They're all Zooming in from all over the country, all over the world. So I'm like, yeah, it's exploding now because we're doing the same thing, but now it's easier access because it's virtual.
That's interesting. You know, one of the things that, and I understand there's pros and cons to this whole virtual movement, you know, virtual, obviously this is virtual what we're doing today and that's a pro, but the things that I've often found that are missing now is that random interaction with the person standing next to the doors. You're like, hey, what's your name? What are you doing? Yeah, like, you know, just chatting. So that I can't wait to get back to. That's something 100%. That, you know, something I'll certainly do miss. But it is really cool for the silver lining where you get to, you know, bring people in from all over the world. How have you, I mean, this requires team for you. This requires a lot of team to build and pull this stuff off. And again, I'm always amazed at the creatives because you guys can, you know, just make things happen that look good and are pretty and present well that the rest of us can't. But talk to us about building out your team and what that experience has been like.
What's amazing about building a team is if you have it in you to really genuinely give a crap about people and their goals, and it's not about you, you'll start attracting the people that want to work with you. So it wasn't always the case because no one knew who the hell I was, you know, a few years ago.
Sure.
But I just kept listening to people and asking how I could help. And people would come and say, how can I help you now? Mm. How could you've helped me so much? What can I do for you? Hey, I'm actually looking for a project manager, or I'm looking for an events manager, or I'm looking for a content producer or a producer, an audio engineer. And they would just come. And that's how I started to build my team. It was word of mouth, relationships. And you know how in real estate, you find a good contractor, you find a good carpenter, you know, good people beget good people. Good people had no other good people. So I just started to find amazing people that were on my team, and they knew someone else and they knew someone else. And that's how we built the team, just through relationships.
Right. That's awesome. And there's just no way you can do what you do without team.
No way. Dude, I've gotten to the point, you know, and I'm following along, you know, the greats, you know, Elon Musk or, you know, these folks where I understood that in order to do a lot of things, you can't be in all of those things. You can't own everything. You can't do everything. So I understood from whatever podcast or book that I read that, you know, you need generals, right? You need generals for every army that you have. And when you have people that you trust to own and operate the businesses, then you can go, what I do best, bro, is this, mm-hmm. build relationships, build trust, right? Friendships with people that can, at some point, you know, we can help each other to grow. And then the people that are great at operations, as I'm imagining you are, you know, that's not my wheelhouse, but I find people, operations, you know, business, you know, doing all the stuff that I can do, but it's better if someone else does it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word because that is, it's something we often struggle with, especially starting out as we're scaling, you know, scaling our real estate holdings. You wear a lot of hats in the beginning. And I think the sooner that we can do exactly what you've said, which is to find the generals that go, okay, you are the team member that handles this and you handle that, it just becomes a more.
Can I point out one thing here, Sam, with that? So once you find those generals, it is critical. And I've noticed people that they understand the concept and they implement that concept, but they don't trust.
Mm.
Once you have people in place, trust them and let them freaking own it and let them fall on their face. They may make a mistake. Maybe they'll lose you some money and just as long as it's not all the time, right? But you have to have trust in these people who are doing the business for you, because if you micromanage them, if you're constantly over their shoulder, they're never going to make a decision without you, and you can't grow a business that way.
That's a great point. That's an absolutely great point. Yeah. And it's finding, I'm reading a book, it's, you know, probably everybody's read it, but read a book called Top Grading right now, which I'm sure you're familiar with it, but just
going, I've heard of it.
It gives you a formula for how to hire in the top 10% of available, you know, talent pool. And, just interesting going through that. I think one of those things that we often struggle with is we don't know that we hired the right person. And so then once we get them on board, then you go, well, maybe they're a C player. And then, So that's really cool that, you know, that you point that out with trust. And I think that also goes hand in hand with finding, you know, the best talent you possibly can as well.
Yeah. I know the big trend this year, everyone's talking about, it's not how, it's who.
Right.
Right. It's not how, it's who. And I'm reading right now The Go-Giver, and it's all about getting the right people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily. And then when those people are on the bus, it's not like, okay, guys, we're driving here, whether you like it or not. It's about looking behind and seeing who's in the seats and then driving the bus in the direction that makes sense for everyone. Mm. Basically aligning with everyone's goals so everyone's happy. But yeah, I highly recommend reading The Go-Giver as well.
That's awesome. Eric, we're running out of time here. Let's jump into the final four if we can.
Let's do it.
Final four questions are this. Number one, what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
take some damn risks. Here's the big thing. When I was speaking in front of rooms, when we were, you know, allowed to do that, I would see the same people come in the room all the time. And I'm like, hey, Kathy, how's it going? You doing the flips? You doing that wholesaling? Like you said, oh, I'm still waiting to, I haven't decided on a business card yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm like, then that would do. That was 90% of people. Make the decision, take the risk, get the courage to do it, make some mistakes, and surround yourself with people that you can, you know, feel give you the confidence if you're lacking.
Right. No, that's great. What is one thing you are currently doing to stay on top of your game?
I am currently seeking, so I'm part of the GoBundance tribe. So that's a mastermind group, but I'm always looking for other masterminds, other people to get into my circle that I need Jedi masters. I don't have enough of them. Mm. Right. Because I'm doing a lot of this, like putting my hand down, but I need more up. I need someone to grab above. And, you know, I don't have enough. So always looking for mentors and people that inspire me.
Right. No, that's awesome. When it comes to giving back, what is one way you're making the world a better place?
Through podcasting and building our community, you know, giving everyone a voice, an opportunity to shine, share their message from our stage and our podcasts. I mean, that's how we do it, you know, one conversation at a time.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. Eric, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, check out podmax.co. Hopefully you can come through our event. You know, we can give you the opportunity to jump on a bunch of podcasts, meet some amazing people in our community, and listen to our fabulous keynotes that, you know, just have opportunities for people. We had David Meltzer in recently, and he has a show called The 2-Minute Drill, and gave business owners in the room an opportunity to pitch. You know, hey, like Shark Tank, here's my business. Here's what we do. I'm asking $200,000 of investment. And that was pretty cool to see.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Eric, thanks so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.